Hi, and welcome to Becoming Less, an Edmontonian journey to less waste, less impact, less consumption, and less clutter. Becoming Less is brought to you by Waste Free Edmonton, and together we're dedicated to waste reduction efforts, big and small. I'm Biz, and I'm here today with my friend, Becca. Hi, Becca. How you doing?
Hey, Biz. Thanks for having me.
Becca has sort of recently found minimalism as it has a place in her life. And I don't know, it's been, how long do you think it's been since you sort of started doing this?
It's been really recent, I guess. I would say, over the last half a year, maybe?
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Yeah.
So I've been really enjoying your random messages about, my favorite was the most recent one. It was like, why do I have so many slippers?
Yes. Oh, my goodness.
And I chuckled to myself about that.
Most women, you would think it's too many shoes, but me, stay-at-home mom, it's slippers. That's my shoe wear, right?
So do you remember, like, when this sort of clicked in your brain? When did minimalism strike you?
I think it's just all the clutter. It's just been weighing me down, you know, like all the stuff. It just clutters my mind. And I just, maybe you played a small role in it too, because I know that you are very minimal. Like, remember the time I bought you socks and you were like, don't buy me socks.
Yeah, I do that.
Yeah. And I was like, what? I don't understand.
So what do you think is the biggest change you've made? Or maybe the biggest place in your home that you really need to tackle?
Oh my goodness. I kind of start one spot and then go to another spot until I have like five projects on the go at once. I have a hard time focusing on just one thing because, you know, then I'll spot something and I'll be like, oh, no, I need to do that too. And so, you know, I might have my daughter's books are all over and then the pantry's all over and I'm just trying to get rid of things. And I started and then it just gets so chaotic and I have to take a break. But I feel like I've been doing a little bit every day. And if I don't do at least one little task a day, I feel really unproductive. So I have to do one small thing a day.
Okay. So I imagine one small thing a day over the course of 6 months has made a lot of progress.
Yeah. Well, I've started organizing things, you know, donations or things to sell or keep stuff or even stuff where you're not sure. And if you put it in a bin and you kind of put it out of sight, out of mind, you know, and then if you don't go to that bin in a few months, maybe it's time for it to go.
Okay.
Kind of thing.
That's a good strategy.
Yeah. And then, well, one thing that actually I found really, really helpful. So I had all this stuff ready to go, like donations. And my daughter, she has a hard time letting things go, as do I. Like, I'm really sentimental. So I have a really hard time letting items go because I attach sentiment to almost everything. And my daughter's got that from me. So anyway, I loaded everything up in the truck and we went off to the hospice. I took Lila with me and we're hauling everything in, and it felt so good to have my daughter there with me. So we brought everything in. I don't even know how many boxes, like, I don't know, six boxes or something. And I let her buy one small thing when we were there. She found this little Minnie Mouse thing she wanted. And I'm like, you know what? We just donated six boxes of things. Yeah, you can get a little Minnie Mouse
from hospice
toy from the hospice.
Nice.
So okay. Something someone else donated. So now she gets to enjoy that, which we'll probably later donate back. But yeah, it was just, I feel like it's good. Because then when we came home, she was like, hey, we should like bring more stuff. And then I can get something new. And I'm like, okay, well, you got to bring more things. Then
is the message clicking there? Or is she just excited to get new toys?
I think she wants a new toy, but still.
I mean, okay, she's
making
four?
Some progress. She's four.
Yeah.
Almost five. Yeah.
I feel like at that age, I don't think that message would really click psychologically anyway, but hey, she's getting that impression and I'm sure it will click. So that's good. Cool.
Yeah. Yeah. Trying to instill that in her because I just feel like I've been packing stuff around from house to house to house I'm just, it's so overwhelming. Like, I look at my closet and it's better now because I've gotten rid of a bunch, but I still feel like I need to get rid of more because less is more. And if you have less stuff in there, you actually have more to wear, you know?
Do you want to explain how that works?
Well, I guess it's just overwhelming when there's a whole bunch of stuff in there. Yeah. Like, what is it? A capsule wardrobe? Is that what you do?
Yeah.
Is that what that's called? Yeah. I like that idea. I've been thinking maybe trying something like that, you know, having like those 5 outfits and, you know, kind of the seasonal, have some for summer and, you know, living in Canada. But
right.
Yeah, I don't know. It's hard.
Yeah. I have like half my wardrobe is work clothes and they're just tees and a specific type of pants. And then I just cycle through them. And
yeah.
So whatever one is on the right-hand side is the one I wear. And when I'm done with it, it goes on the left. And then I don't have that decision fatigue. It's just whatever's next in line.
See, and I love that.
Yeah.
And I've thought about doing that because I kind of just stick with my main options. I used to always have to wear something new each day. And, you know, I'd be like, I don't really like it, but like I wanted something new. And now I just kind of stick to the stuff that I know I like and I feel comfortable in it and I'm happy in it. And that's why I got to get rid of more stuff.
So
if this is becoming an addiction, actually, I feel like this is my addiction. I have to clean and get rid of things. And
yeah, once you kind of notice that doing this frees up space, you enjoy the space more than the stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Newly freed up my kitchen counter. My husband was like, I don't know how I feel about this bare kitchen counter. Like, it's so nice. There's nothing here.
That's funny. Is he jumping on board or is he just kind of like, you do what you want to do, honey?
Oh, yeah. He likes that. He thinks we have too much stuff as well. And he just lets me do whatever.
So have clothes been like a big area? Have you noticed a lot of space coming back to you from dealing with your clothing?
When I open my closet, I feel a little bit better, but I also feel like I need to get rid of more.
Okay, so you have noticed the improvement, but it's clearly not done yet?
It's not enough.
No. Well, I find what I find is minimalism is never, like, it's not a task you check off your to-do list.
No, it's just...
It's a mind shift, and it's a constant...
It's continual, and yeah. I have so much to do still, and it's going to be... I feel like it's going to be a long while before I kind of get caught up, and then I just want to continue the practice throughout life.
So what kind of stuff did you clear off your kitchen counter?
What did I move off of there? Well, I kind of moved some stuff around because it was just the whole back side was just stuff. I'm trying to think, what did I put in the cupboard? Because I cleared off the whole corner. I can't even remember what I had there.
Isn't that the thing? Like, you don't even remember the crap.
Yeah. Like, other things, like, you know, I've put away, you know, like, bread machine and stuff like that. Like, the big items, you know, that you pull out every so often. And and then, yeah, I've also just got rid of, like, a bunch of pots and pans. And I just keep the ones that we use in that cupboard. And it's just so nice. You know, there's so much stuff. Plus, people always, you know, you get gifts and stuff. And then... Yeah, like at Christmas time, we kind of told people like, hey, why don't you just like for my daughter, like just one small gift, or you can just, you know, give her some money for her savings account, which, you know, is kind of a growing gift for her, like when she's older. And then for us, we're kind of just like, no, we don't need anything. And, you know,
so
still get little things here and there that are really nice. But we just didn't want to like I like things that you can enjoy, but don't take up space. Chocolate, coffee, wine.
Consumables. Yeah.
Socks. Love socks.
Yeah. That's like me and for Christmas, anyone who asks, I'm like, get me bar soap. Get me fancy bar soap.
Yes. Fancy hand soaps are nice. Yeah.
Because bar soaps are usually at least low waste, if not waste free. They often support somebody who's a local artisan. And you will get much nicer soaps as gifts than just going and buying bar soaps yourself. Because, like, I would never buy a $10 bar soap for myself. But a $10 bar soap is kind of a cheap gift to give somebody. Do you know what I mean? So it's like win-win both sides. And so I was like, yes, this is, like, the perfect thing to ask for Christmas. Because I think I ran out in June last year.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So, like, I got lots, but it still didn't last the entire year. So, it was definitely something I used and wasn't too much. It's perfect.
Yeah. No, I like that.
Your minimalism is spilling over into the incoming as well as what you already have.
Well, and also in the giving, because you know what I just learned how to make?
What's that?
Plantable paper. So, like...
Oh, seed paper.
Yeah, yeah, you make the paper and you put the seeds and then it's like a gift for somebody.
Nice.
Yeah, I was like, because I actually was going to buy one and then it wasn't like I wasn't able to get it. And I'm like, couldn't find it anywhere. I'm like, why don't I just make it? I have so many seeds downstairs. I have paper. There's got to be ways. So I looked it up and, you know, like DIYs on YouTube and it's actually pretty easy. So that's what I'm going to do.
And it's pretty. Like it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You can do like wildflowers and it's good. Yeah, just nice little, you know, like Mother's Day gift ideas or like summer gifts, you know, if someone's birthday's in the summer.
So have you given a lot of those away?
No, I haven't made them yet.
Oh, okay.
It's so a gift I have planned to make now. I just haven't got to it yet, but I just love that idea. And then it's like easy to send and yeah, you know.
And then the minimalism virus continues as you start giving other people non-items and then they're like, oh, minimalism. Honestly,
people probably really do appreciate it because, I mean, you know, like our parents and stuff, they already have everything they need. So I think little things like that, it's a kindness and it's thoughtful. And like you said, it's really pretty, you know, they don't know what they're going to get.
Mm-hmm. So it's like a little surprise. But
yeah,
there's nothing there that's going to be in a landfill for the next 500 years.
Exactly. You just put the paper in the dirt, add water, done.
Done. Love it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Incoming and gift giving as well. We have really just explained to everyone, like, we're not into it. We do the consumables. We do the experiences. We don't.
Experiences. Yeah.
Yeah. So, like, that's the other thing that we either ask for or gift ourselves is to say, well, let's go to the theater or let's get a massage. Yeah.
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 Another idea is if you have friends with kids, you can offer babysitting for a night so the parents can go out for dinner.
I bet you would really appreciate that, wouldn't you?
Any of my friends listening? Did you hear that?
That's a good one. That's one that I wouldn't have thought of because I don't have kids. So.
Yeah, I read that somewhere. It was on this Christmas gift ideas thing. The other thing is e-cards for Christmas cards, right? Remember I sent you an e-card this year for a change?
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of cut it in half and some got e-cards and some got actual cards. And next year, I think it's going to be mostly e-cards, except for like my grandma who doesn't have the internet. Obviously, she'll get a card. And
yeah. The e-card thing I'm a little bit torn on because I feel like the convenience of the e-card not invalidates, but like diminishes the thought because it's not like handwritten. It's not. Do you know what I'm saying?
But technically an e-card, I mean, not an e-card, the printable ones, I mean, you just, you know, order them at like Walmart or Vistaprints. They print them out and you throw them in envelopes and you're mailing them. Like, whereas an e-card, you're.
Oh, it's the yeah.
Same thing. Like,
no, I'm not talking about like doing the exact same thing, but with paper. I'm talking like
making an individual card for people.
Like making it, or either maybe not making a card, but like a blank card where you actually write something that means something to someone.
Yeah. Well, like handwritten letters and stuff. I love that.
Yeah. I love that too.
Mm-hmm. Just getting a letter in the mail is so nice. Or like I'll mail like drawings that Lila does to her grandparents sometimes.
Yeah.
Little things.
Yeah. Remember you and I used to do a journal. That's been a long time ago.
Journal.
Do you remember our journal that we'd send back and forth, the same journal?
Who has the journal now?
I have the journal now.
You have to send it to me now.
I know, it's been years since we sent the journal back and forth. But you and I used to write in the same journal back and forth. And so there's like pictures in there. And there was like one of those pop-out butterflies. Do you remember that? Didn't that scare the shit out of you or something?
It scared the shit out of me?
Yeah. There was like this little wind-up butterfly. When you opened it, the butterfly popped out.
Oh, Man, I'm trying to remember this now. When did we do this? Like, how long ago?
It's a long time.
A decade ago?
Yeah, probably like a decade ago.
We're that old now.
You and I have known each other for 20 years. I just want you to put that in your brain right now.
It's pretty awesome. Wow. Grade 7.
Grade 7. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I remember doing that with another friend, and it was like a dress, and you would mail the dress back and forth, and we'd sew something on the dress that happened when we wore it. Just something like a leaf for a sun or something.
A dress, though. That's interesting. Did you actually, like, you said you sewed something on the dress?
Yeah, so I think I sewed a maple leaf because I wore it in the fall and I went for a walk and there was leaves everywhere. Carly, what did she sew? Like, maybe a sun? We did it a few times, and I actually think I have the dress. Yeah, I think I still have it. And we just sort of stopped, I guess. I didn't mail it again. I probably should, but yeah. I don't know if that dress would fit me anymore, but yeah, I'm used to do that.
Anyway, all that to say that the handwritten messages that are very personal are still lovely. But
oh yeah,
if you're just signing up the bottom of a card and throwing it in the mail, you might as well do an e-card, because why would you waste the paper if you're not putting in that extra... Like, I mean, you can send the e-card with a thoughtful note as well. And I think that would get give the same impression. But if it's just, I do appreciate that extra thought put into the note.
Yeah.
Or a letter.
No, absolutely.
Yeah. So convenience culture, I think. Yeah. Anyway, I think I'm thinking I might do a episode on convenience culture. So we'll talk about that another time. Anyway.
Okay.
Getting back to your minimalism. Mm-hmm. Your e-cards, you're not putting stuff into other people's lives either.
Yeah, because, I mean, you get the e-card or you get the card, and then what do you do with your cards? You're not going to keep all these cards, right?
Nope. Well, I'm not. I imagine some people do.
I keep some, but not all. Like, and the other thing I was going to say is, like, you might have something that's special, sentimental, you know, this person gave this to you or made this for you, and you hold on to it. Maybe it doesn't really have a practical use and it kind of just sits there. And it's like, oh, do I want to keep this? Do I want to get rid of it? And so for cards, someone close to me passed away, and I just, it was really hard. And I went digging through bins because I knew that I had cards from her still, and I saved them. And then I found them, and they brought me such comfort to just read these cards from her.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not like black and white, I guess. I, you know, some things I feel like should be saved.
In that case, if you want to clear out the space and the clutter, but you want to keep those memories, you can take pictures or scan those in and then create a digital album.
Yep, I've thought of that too, but I just have like a little box of like, you know, little special things that I keep on a shelf. Okay, I'm going to be honest. So it's like a lot of boxes that I need to sort through and make it into one box. Because I have like the memory box, the wedding box, and then like the albums I have not completed yet. And that is a task for another day.
Yeah.
But it will be done.
I remember I had a box of photos that I dragged to like 5 different homes. Like, I moved 5 or more times with this box that was still taped shut.
Oh.
And I was like, you know what? I haven't looked in this in 5 houses. I'm not going to open it, because if I open it, I'm going to be like, oh, well, maybe I should keep that. Maybe I should keep that. But obviously, it has not come up to look for anything that is in that box for the last 5 houses I've lived in. So it's just time for it to go. So I just didn't open it, and I just got rid of it. I still haven't thought to look in that box since then.
Yeah, well, it's like where you put something aside for a few months, and if you don't go in it, get rid of it. If you grab something from it, okay, but then keep it closed. And whatever you don't take out in that timeline you gave yourself, get rid of it.
That is an excellent technique for people who really have that attachment to things.
And don't open it again, though, when it's time to get rid of it. Like you said, don't open it.
Don't open it when it's time to actually get rid of it. But if you really are like, I don't know if I can get rid of this, we'll just put it in a box, put it out of sight, give yourself a reminder for like 3-6 months down the road. If you have not gone into that box, gone. Don't open it.
Like, I agree.
Make sure that they're labeled for wherever they're wherever they're supposed to go. So separate like clothes,
kitchen, books, whatever. Yeah,
the kind of like where you would take those items. So whether it's Eco Station, I don't know if they're called Eco Stations where you are, but Eco Station here. Thrift stores, which I have had a harder and harder time donating to thrift stores. We have a garment recycling place here now, though, so that's where I take my clothes because thrift stores have like background stuff that I don't like very much. But anyway.
No, I like that you showed me pictures of that, I think, or maybe it was on your Instagram, but that's really cool that they have that there now.
Yeah. Yeah. I really like it. It's refreshing to see somebody trying to actually stop the stream instead of just creating another spot along the line to encourage more things to pass through it.
Mm-hmm.
Are there other techniques or tips that you would say to anyone who's starting out?
Yeah. Well, other things is, you know, like if something breaks, we usually, you know, you throw it out and you buy a new one for like a table or a chair or whatever.
Your furniture.
My furniture, yeah. So I've been restoring my furniture, and I have a handy husband who will, you know, fix some of the loose legs for me or broken legs or whatever. And if it's like not my style anymore, like you can change it up. You just, you know, I'll sand it down, I'll paint it and make it my own. And I love doing that. And it's very time consuming sometimes, especially when you have a toddler running around. But I mean... It's awesome. I did that with all of our bedroom furniture, some of the furniture in the living room, and it just made a whole new room, like our bedroom. I just love it with the same old furniture.
Speaking of whole new room, you were telling me about how you were kind of feeling like the place was blah and you wanted to spruce it up, but instead of going to buy a bunch of new decorative items, what did you do?
Well, other things I've been doing is I rearrange my furniture, and it doesn't sound like much, but it will make a big difference. You can kind of just shop around your own house, move stuff around, you know, like, for example, I have these books that I don't use. They sit in a cupboard and I'm like, okay, like I still actually need to go through those books. They're still sitting there, but I took out some of them and added them as like decor pieces in my living room. And I mean, I guess that's not really minimalism as I'm keeping the items, but I'm making use of them. Like it's not sitting in my cupboard. I actually took it out. You can take it upon yourself to grab one and read it when you're sitting there too. Then the thing I told you with the furniture, fix it up, restore it. You know, I like very kind of vintagey looks. So I, you know, I'll watch some DIYs and kind of do like the paints, and you can do it. Distressing looks. You can do anything like to make it how you want it.
And different people are going to have different talents that they can apply. So like for me, I do that sort of thing with clothes, where like if clothes don't fit me or if there's a tear in them, then I will do something to spruce them up and make them interesting, but then functional again, right? Whereas I would not restore furniture because that's just not I don't have the tools, I don't have the space, I don't have the interest in furniture, but I do the same sort of thing with clothes because sewing is where my talent and interest lies and I can do something similar. So, you know, among your friends, maybe like you have a friend who would be interested in furniture and you have a friend who would be interested in clothing and you can do...
Oh my goodness, why don't we live in the same place?
Because you live in the butthole of BC. I'm sorry.
I've actually taken it upon myself to do this to clothing. Like it's like a long t-shirt. I wanted a crop. So you would probably look at me and be like, what are you doing? And I'll just take scissors and cut it. And then I'm like, cool. This looks good. And then I ended up like, I kept a couple, but I think I donated a lot of it because it just, I don't know. Some of them turned out, some of them it's kind of like, nope, it's too much clothes. I don't need it. And tried to make it into something else. And no. But furniture, I love doing that.
Yeah. But like what I'm trying to get at is like if you don't have to do all your own furniture. Like we're not saying in order to be minimalistic, you have to just redo all your furniture in order to get a fresh look. You no. can, there are other ways, and maybe you have talents that would be applied in other areas of your life. And you mm-hmm. probably have people in your life that you can do exchanges with in order to get the benefits of different angles and areas that you can apply this to.
Well, one thing is like things that I normally wouldn't have thought I was good at. And then I watched some videos and educated myself and learned, because you can always learn new things. Mm-hmm. Thing is though, you need, like you said, the tools and...
Yeah.
And I've messed up before doing the furniture. Like, I'm not, like, I've made some errors and then it takes a lot of time to fix, but I learn. And
yeah,
you don't have to do that to do minimalism. That's just me. I get bored of something and I don't want to buy something new and I don't want to throw it out. And I can see it being used in another room in another way.
Yeah. I'm just saying, like, no one needs to feel pressured if they want to go minimalistic to be able to DIY everything. Just like, that's okay. Don't feel like you have to do everything.
No, you don't and have I to do that. That's me.
Don't.
You know, if I, you know, I mean, I'm sure that down the road, I am going to get rid of my couch and get some new furniture and change it up, but just not right now.
And make this stuff last as long as possible.
I'm just not going to buy mm-hmm. new furniture right now. But yeah, I'm not going to buy a new couch every year or...
And you were telling me about, like, the actual decorative items that you had. Mm-hmm. I think you said that you had pulled out a vase that was in the cupboard and a scarf that was in a box somewhere. And then they became, like, your centerpiece in your living room. Am I remembering that right?
I grabbed a sparkly white scarf. I kind of wrapped it around my fruit bowl. And I put, like, some Christmas.
Bowl. Okay, yeah.
Yeah, I put, like, Christmas, like, fake red apples and pine cones in it to do, like, a Christmas decor piece on my table. And it was just with this old white scarf I never wore. And it just sort of turned it into a Christmas piece, I guess.
Yeah, and that's kind of what I did with Halloween and Christmas. With Halloween, I just had some pumpkins. And I decorated my table with pumpkins. And then after mm-hmm, Halloween, I turned those pumpkins into dog treats for my friend.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's so cool.
So I cut up and dehydrated the pumpkin, and then she now, she's probably out of them by now, but she fed mm-hmm. them to her dogs as treats.
I love that. And then, I don't think I'd find the time or patience to do that. That's awesome.
Well, I mean, it was a little bit of a process, but it only happens mm-hmm. once a year, so it's like.
Yeah.
It's the one time I will put myself in a kitchen for a long period of time. Oh, hate cooking so much. Anyway, and then for Christmas, for Yule, I got some of my Nanaimo friends to send me some holly with with their care package to send me some real live holly. Mm-hmm. And so then I had holly, like you said, around a bowl or something, and it made it look very festive.
Aw, nice. Yeah.
I wish I'd taken a picture. I'll do it next year. I'll take a picture next year.
Yeah, for sure. I wanted something under my tree, you know, like a tree skirt or something. Mm-hmm. And I seen this idea of this, like, kind of a crate-looking thing that says North Pole on it. Like a mail crate thing, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Anyhow, my husband, he had an old pallet in the shop or somewhere in the yard, just some old pallet, and he broke it apart and built me my crates, and I painted the N pole on it, and we just made our own little thing, which you'd probably pay, like, you know, $100 or something ridiculous at the store for that, and we just built it out of some old wood.
Very nice.
Mm-hmm.
Very creative. I love it.
Yeah.
So some takeaways that I'm seeing here. So shop in your own house.
Yes. You can shop in your own house.
Shop in your own house before you go buy anything new.
Mm-hmm.
Things can be restored and people will have different talents in different areas to do that with.
Yeah.
If you're a sentimental person, set the things aside in a box that's sealed for 6 months. And if you don't look at it, then just get rid of it and do not open the box again.
Don't open it.
Don't open the box. If you're a sentimental person, do not open that box. Start with just a small area, right? Like Marie Kondo is like the ultimate minimalist.
Yeah.
Does not, well, yeah, she's the ultimate tidier. She's not, but she tells you to do everything all at once, which I think is a bit overwhelming. Like, unless you literally take 2 weeks off work, how? But I mean, I think it's more doable to just pick a spot and go through it. I love the idea of just like pick whatever, like keep whatever makes you happy. Like, there's no limit to minimalism. Whatever is minimal to you, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, like it's a process. Like, I've been doing a little bit every day. I can't do it all at once. That'd be crazy.
Yeah. I think you would literally have to take 2 or 3 weeks off work and just mm-hmm. do that. And I don't think I could do that without support. So either Adam and I would have to do it like as a joint project, or I'd have to have a friend come over and work with me or something like that, or like a professional, like Rose City Organizing. That's what she does.
I've often thought I need a friend to come help me with this because it is a lot. So I'll like, some days I'll just be like, hey, I'm going to tackle this, like say it's a drawer. This is it. And if I want to do more after that, I will. But if not, then this is what I'm doing today. Like the one day I was like, I'm going to do Lila's toys. And I brought all the toys into the living room and put them all in the middle so I could sort them. And then I took on her books in her room and actually didn't get overwhelmed. I thought I would, but I didn't.
Yeah. What's something that I found helpful if I feel like there's an area I really need to tackle is to make a date, like a phone date with a friend for that purpose. Mm-hmm. Like, make sure that they know that that's what you're doing, because they might kind of think it's rude that you're calling them and then being distracted by this pile of crap that you're going through. But if you're like, hey, do you want to have a like phone decluttering party with me, and we can each pick an area of our house and we'll chit chat while we do it. And like that's
have coffee, declutter.
Like,
I love
have some tea and chat with a friend and declutter an area of your house and just like pick something to focus on and a time mm-hmm. and somebody to be accountable for that time with. And I mm-hmm. found that very helpful and fun.
Oh, you've actually done it. I love that. I really like that idea. I should do that with you.
Yeah. Let me know whenever you want to do that. Just like, I need a decluttering day. When are you free? And absolutely. Anything else you want to throw in there? Just like anything else that's eating you up inside about minimalism?
Because we're talking about Marie Kondo. And then, I mean, one thing that I do that sort of helps, and it's silly, but is I will thank my item before I give it away. If I'm selling something, you know, because she says that. that like when you're getting rid of it to thank it, and I'm like, that is silly. But then I started doing it. I don't know, it's just a habit. I'm like, thank you. You were a good chair or whatever it was, you know, even though I'm talking to an object, but I don't know, it just helps me part with it.
I hear you about feeling silly. If you think that's silly, you can approach that in a different way. I think gratitude is something that is very important in my life. So I might I might not be like, thank you, chair. I really appreciate the time we had together, but I might be like, you know what? I really appreciate that this chair did the thing that it needed to do when it needed to do it, but its job is done.
Well, that's what I sort of think. Like, it's time for it to move on.
Yeah.
You know, it just sits down there and
still has life. It can bring joy to someone else. Exactly. Or if it doesn't have any life, then I will give it the proper burial that it deserves.
Yeah.
By sending it to where it needs to go. Whether it can go to someone who can fix it up, or whether mm-hmm. it needs to go to an eco station. If it's a metal chair, maybe the metal can be reused rather than just directly to landfill, because that's the easiest thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sometimes if you think, like, I don't know, like, should this be garbage or could someone fix it? But you just don't know and you don't know what to do with it. Honestly, just make a post that it's free. You know, first come, first serve, put it at the end of your driveway and it'll probably be gone. Like, I remember when I had something up for free, I was overwhelmed with messages. Everybody wanted these chairs. And I think my husband was like, oh, they're not very good anymore. But this lady, she wanted them and she was very happy with them, you know?
Yeah, that's cool. Yeah, I don't have a driveway to do that with anymore, but that absolutely works. When we were at our old place, if we had something, we're like, there's this thing down at the alley. And then like, whoever's there, if it's gone, that means it's been taken. Someone else got here first. And that works.
Yeah.
Buy nothing groups. Do you have a buy nothing group? Do you know?
No. I think I've heard of this recently, actually. I need to join one.
Yeah, you should check out and see if there's one in PG.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. No, I like that. Other ideas is like Moms in Need group. I'm sure there's other kinds of in need groups where you just post things and you're absolutely not allowed to sell things. And you can just, you know, like say you have an old microwave, you can just be like, hey, is there a mom in need that wants this? And yeah, someone will probably
that's like
want
a
it.
Themed Buy Nothing group.
Yeah. So I guess I am part of a themed Buy Nothing group, but I should just find a general anything group.
Well, thank you so much for chatting with me about minimalism. I could talk about minimalism all day.
Thanks for having me.
I really want to send my gratitude out to our listeners and our patrons who support the waste reduction efforts of Waste Free Edmonton. We really appreciate your support. And we appreciate the support of Change Toothpaste, who help pay for the expenses of the podcast, because it's not free to do and it's run by volunteers. If you want to reach us, you can email becomingless@becomingless.pod@gmail.com. You can find us on Instagram at becomingless.pod, or you can go to wastefree.ca/becomingless.pod for all the ways to connect and listen and donate to support waste reduction efforts. You can find that there as well. Until next time, we can all be a little less than we were yesterday.
Okay, you jump up and down.